Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Jesus calms the storm. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him."
The captain greeted us. We boarded the ship that never was. It was a full crew, a foul day in Strawn. Halfway through the show, the actors handed us spray bottles for audience participation. We could do that today, I guess, but we won't. Minutes later, the lead actor stood up very tall, front and centre in front of everyone there on the deck, shouting in front of the crew, telling the story, the wind blowing, and the mainsail catching all the wind. "Now," he said. And at that very moment, instead of us spraying the bottles of water, this enormous gust of wind from the south, I think, I'm not sure if my geography is correct at that point. Anyway, it felt like a southerly buster coming through there, an enormous gust coming through with the wind and the rain just hit us. A deluge of water. It wasn't in the script. But perfectly timed, it was as though we were on the sea and the play just stopped. A little bit like what we were doing for about, I don't know how long it was, 30 seconds or so, just as we were going through the communion there. We were just sort of stopped as everything just paused, as the actor waited, and we all waited, and we laughed, knowing that the show must go on. But it couldn't for at least 20 seconds until that storm eased off. The curtain has come down on another full day. And there is Jesus being teaching many things in parables about the kingdom. The vast numbers of people on the shore by the Sea of Galilee. He's been doing that from a boat. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, we see there that it's evening. And we see that Jesus seamlessly instructs his disciples to go over to the other side, the other side being the eastern shore towards the region known as the Gadara in the Decapolis. It may have been early evening, the sun setting on another day, the crowd left behind on the shore, and Jesus with his disciples head across the water, and the other boats are there with him. Don't really feature much in what happens next. Did they really travel a long way with Jesus and then thought they'd better head back? Or were they really there as the storm hit? We can't be sure. For Mark, the gospel writer, gives us an eyewitness account here of what happened to those in the boat with Jesus that night. And so what we have this morning from Mark 4 is a mega storm where the disciples rebuke Jesus, "Don't you care?" A mega calm where Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, "Silent, be still," followed by a mega fear, where the disciples are just left searching for answers about Jesus. Who is he? You'll see this on your news sheet inside there, a mega storm, a mega calm, and a mega fear, if you'd like to have that open in front of you. And in your Bibles there, you'll Notice down the verses, verse 37, the word furious appears. Verse 39, the word completely appears. Verse 41, terrified appears. Three words where our translations get those from, get the word mega, comes from the word mega. People say he's mega ugly. She's mega rich. Bunnings is a mega store. Taylor Swift is a mega superstar, I think. So I hear. But what's on show here in these seven verses in Mark 4 is first a mega storm. So let's have a look together at this. It's a simple story, but there's, again, everything in the Bible is profound. Let's have a look at it. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus is in the stern there, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown?" Now, several disciples, of course, would know something about storms on the Sea of Galilee. They were fishermen. Storms were just sort of part and parcel of their trade. The Sea of Galilee was notorious for them. The surface level of the water of the Sea of Galilee, I understand, is about 700 feet below sea level. It's the lowest freshwater lake on earth. It's surrounded by steep hills and mountains, so it's a bit like a basin. The westerly winds would come from the Mediterranean Sea, the easterly from the desert, funneling through the hills, around the sea, stirring up storms. So this one is a real doozy, provided by an eyewitness who was there in the boat that night. For you see, not only do we have other boats and a time reference to this, but we also have the details in the story of the boat filling up, of the waves going over the boat, and Jesus' precise location we see in the stern, on a cushion, asleep. And the disciples' rude question to him, and so on, all pointing to recollections that someone was there. Without question, these men believe they are about to drown. The boat can't cope. It might soon be the ship that never was and the men that never were. Curtains. And Jesus is just conked out, tired from a full-on day of teaching. He's not alarmed at all about the situation in the slightest, is he? It was like the time when I went on a ride as a youngster at the Easter show with a friend, and we're strapped into this seat thing side by side, and away it went, up and down, left and right, spiraling round and clockwise and anti-clockwise. Sounds like a lot of fun, doesn't it? And I say, look, I begin to pray, and I'm screaming at the same time, whereas the fellow alongside me, my friend there, is just shouting, "Isn't this fantastic?" Cool, calm, collected, unfazed. I was like the disciples in the boat, terrified. But we also see here in the story, the disciples are angry at Jesus. In verse 38, he says, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" When I read this story, I've often wondered, what would I have done? I've sung that song, I don't know whether you know it, various missions with children and so forth, "With Christ in my vessel, I can smile at the storm as we go sailing on." Do we know that one? Maybe. We won't do it now, but you know the sound effects and the actions and all of that, and leaving out words, all that. Well, I haven't always smiled going on. For who hasn't ever wondered, "What are you doing, Lord, in my situation?" Martin Luther once said, "Even though he sleeps, Christ is in the boat." Christ is in the boat. Maybe for you, it seems Christ is asleep to what you face. To the disciples' credit, at least they turn to the Lord. And that's always the right thing to do, isn't it? Whatever you face, or whatever the fear might be, or whatever the concern, or the threat, or the trouble, bring that to Him. But then don't do what the disciples do here, taking offence at Jesus for what they thought was His lack of concern about His safety and theirs. Don't you care? Really? What do you think the disciples could have said? Lord, save us. Help us. Lord, please don't let us drown. Lord, I'm finding this overwhelming. What should I do? In any case, Jesus gets up and produces a mega calm. That's our second point this morning. Have a look at verse 39. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Silence, be still." And then the wind died down. It was completely calm. Jeff sort of stole my thunder a little bit here, but I want you to sort of think about this as you face another Ulverston storm coming up. Big storm comes to town, it's raining on your parade. You've got plans for the day, maybe it's a sporting event. Maybe you've got a picnic planned, or you're going to a wedding, an outdoor wedding, you know, an anniversary in the park. They say, why don't you just sort of stand up and walk outside the back there, in the backyard, and say, enough, silence, stop, no more. Who does that? Who would? Let me just tell you what's going on here. The Bible tells us that God created the world and He put man in a privileged position to rule the world under God's authority, Genesis 1 and 2. But mankind rebelled against God, what is referred to as the fall from grace, the fall from that privileged position, no longer able to rule the creation as it was meant to be. And in Jesus, what we find is the man who is God ruling creation. And we see it here, don't we, as He brings order to chaos. God is ruling. Jesus is Lord over the chaos. He who spoke, and it was, speaks to the elements one evening. A couple of words, silence, be still. It's no contest. We face chaos all over our world, don't we? We know it. We still live with the effects of the fall everywhere, and we long for order, not chaos, in our lives. One day we will die. Creation groans. What we face can seem that God isn't concerned or isn't aware. Asleep. Everything just seems out of control. But it isn't. Don't despair. See who is King and who is making everything new. Who died for fallen mankind, for our rebellion against God, and who rose from the dead as Lord and King in God's kingdom. Lord over the chaos. And because He is Lord, He and His people will be victorious. Let me ask you this question. Why isn't Jesus afraid in the storm? Think about that. There is not one ounce of fear in Jesus. The Son of God parted the Red Sea. All things were created by Him and through Him. Teacher, don't you care? He's the cosmic ruler, present in the boat, controlling climate, weather, muzzling wind, has the sea obeying him. If you just think he's a good teacher for a good life, or just a philosopher or a religious guru or some life coach to sort of help you along, a brilliant inventor of something, an option amongst the many, you haven't understood who he is. Who stills the roaring of the seas, the roaring of the waves, it tells us in Psalm 65, verse 7. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. Psalm 77, verse 16. Or Psalm 107, verse 28. They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from all their distress. He made the storm still, and the waves of the sea were hushed. As soon as those words left his lips that evening, silence be still, that sea was like glass. There wasn't the slightest zephyr left in the air. Everything was calm. Everything was calm. Everything except the disciples in the boat. They had a mega fear. Have a look at verse 40 with me. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." Why were they still afraid after Jesus calmed the storm? They don't become less afraid, do they? The storm went down, their fear went up. Trembling. Why? Something more terrifying is before them. More terrifying than the storm. People have all sorts of phobias. Phobias like acrophobia, the fear of heights. Aerophobia, the fear of flying. Anacrophobia, the fear of spiders, is the fear of public speaking. Fear of open spaces. Another fear is the fear of strangers, of aliens, of people who are sort of different, if you like, called xenophobia. And what the disciples are experiencing that night on the sea was ultimate xenophobia, the fear of the ultimate stranger, one like no one else, who is holy. What the disciples experienced on the Sea of Galilee that night was the holiness of Christ. They liked the power when they were in trouble, so they were quick to wake Jesus when he was in the boat, as it was being swamped. But when he showed them that power, they realized this is not common power. This is holy power. This is a man different from every other person on the face of the planet. Being in the presence of the Holy One, they were consumed by fear. You know, when you meet someone, we unconsciously tend to sort of sort them out. We pigeonhole people. We all do it. You know, someone's walking down the street and they might be smiling as they walk down the street, and you sort of think, well, they seem nice. They look safe. That person looks as though they're in a bit of a hurry. They look very flustered. Better give them some room. Better not get in their way. We tend to separate everyone into categories, you know, safe, dangerous, nice, cantankerous, whatever. But what sort of category is there for someone who can speak to the waves and cause them to obey him? That person is in a class of himself, on his own. The one who is so alien, so other, that there is no compartment for him. If Christ in his majesty was to come and knock on your door one morning, you would not say to him, "G'day, mate, come on in." You would fall down on your face. When the resurrected Christ in his glory and the awesome holiness appears, All creatures will fall at his feet because he is other. He is holy. Not only do people tremble at his voice, seas that have no ears listen to his command. Wind that have no knowledge know enough to stop blowing at his voice. None of us ever expected that actor that night to say to that storm in that play, "Silence, stop, I'm in the middle of a play here. I've got a show to finish." Nor do I think for a moment when the disciples woke Jesus, they expected him to speak to that storm. The difference is that Jesus can do it. He isn't acting. He's not pulling off some sort of special effect thing that we might experience in Hollywood, some movie that they put out. He really stopped the storm because he's God. There are many things people fear, but I'm afraid the greatest thing you must fear is being in God's holy presence unforgiven. And that's what the disciples realize in the boat. But there's another question in the passage we haven't even looked at here. The question is this: do you still have no faith? After all they had seen and heard of Jesus, what he explained to them, is that still possible today? That some of us may have heard things about Jesus, might have a sort of a view about him. Only those who understand who he is and have put their faith in him will do that. You understand there is no one else who saves from being eternally separated from God. That's the fear. Finding ourselves before God in his presence, unforgiven. That's why Jesus came. The Saviour who gave his life for sinners, to give them the privilege of being in God's presence forever, without fear, without terror, without doubt about who he is, without condemnation. The day will come when Jesus may say something like, "Enough. Stop. Silence." And every mouth will be silenced. The whole world held accountable to its creator, and his kingdom will come in all its order, its truth, its fullness, its power and glory, and Jesus will reign over the new heavens and the new earth forever. And the old order of things will be gone. He is making everything new. We need to hang on to this because Jesus is Lord. We have nothing to fear. If we have confessed our sin to Jesus, he has covered it. We put our trust in him. And like that mega storm that night, will you hear and obey Jesus? Because like that storm, you know who he is. Let us pray. Rest assured, if we are God's people, we have great comfort today. But if we are in God's presence unforgiven, it will be the most terrifying experience. Lord of creation, Saviour for mankind, we have seen today your great power on display, a mega storm brought to a mega calm, producing mega fear. I confess that too often we are like those disciples, so often turning to you for the solutions we want, not the solution to our great need for why you came to give. Thank you, Lord, that we have nothing to fear if our lives are covered by Jesus' life, for he died and rose again for us and will bring us all the way to heaven's shore. We don't deserve this, but in gratefulness, Lord, we do offer our lives to you this morning. What we think about, what we speak about, what we do. Asking that you would strengthen us to live for you by faith and obedience this coming week. And so we pray in the mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.